Hello, welcome to Thoughtful Anarchy. I'm Sunshine.
I'm TT.
And we got a lot of things to talk about. The week has been, in typical American fashion, wild as fuck.
Very eventful.
I mean, we're still learning that our political representatives still don't give a damn about us. And that's, you know, it's comforting that they stay corrupt and terrible like we expected.
Okay. So, one of the first topics we're going to talk about is Andrew Cuomo and his sexual deviancy and harassment charges that's, you know, been put upon him. So tell me what you think about that. Like, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so to date, I think he has, what, like three sexual harassment charges? Mm-hmm.
It's up to three.
Yeah, so this three. And I mean, I will say, there's one thing about behaviors in the times of yore. There was a way that people treated women, mm-hmm. or how you were, how certain things that wouldn't fly at all today and what we consider now harassment, assault, etc.
Yeah, there was a certain culture.
Yeah, it would have been fine back then.
Yeah.
Solely because they didn't value women, etc.
And when I was growing up, they called it, like, I hate to say it, they called it a rape culture.
What?
A rape culture?
Well, you mean back then?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still that way. I think that's still a
You think term. It's still a thing?
I think it's still a term that people use.
Yeah.
But now that we've had, you know, the surges of the Me Too movement and all this work that a lot of activists and women activists are doing regarding mm-hmm. sexual harassment and workplace improprieties,
yeah,
you would think that one of the sexual harassment scandals was back in 2019. He can't say he didn't know that the terrain had changed.
Right, because it's been like, what, the past 4 years that it's
yeah,
really
yeah,
picked
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's been recent, so I don't...
But, okay, so let me tell you. Okay. When I'm inebriated, I'm touchier. I'm touchy in general.
Yeah.
But I can... But I know to resign myself to not touching people because, I mean, this culture now of consent and letting people have bodily autonomy and agency, mm-hmm. I definitely don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable or disrespected, right? I mean,
right.
But you know that in a workplace, to grab someone, not in a workplace, he was at a wedding, I think.
Yeah, by their face.
By the face and be like, can I kiss you? That's weird. That's weird.
It's not like he don't have much game.
What do you mean?
Like, that's part of his advancement.
Oh, he like, that's how ladies felt him before?
Well, no, I think that's how he think he's going to get him. And it's lame.
I just think that's a weird way to do it.
Or do you think it's part of his male privilege where he thinks he's a man of power? Almost like the grab him by the pussy thing. Like, you just feel like because he's Andrew Cuomo and he's this person that he feels like if I show you any interest, that women are going to fall for him because he's this powerful
I do guy. Think that there's a certain level of ego that goes into doing things in that fashion.
I think so.
I mean, I haven't heard the full story, so I would need to, like, dive more into it.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I can garner, he grabs her by the face and asks if he can kiss her. And she said no. And I don't know what he did after that. If he backed off, then I think he's just a fucking weirdo. Like, stop grabbing people in the face like that.
Right. I mean, just like, change that alone is
change that behavior.
That's inappropriate.
Yeah. But I don't think that in itself is what I would consider sexual harassment to be. Because to me, sexual harassment would be kissing you, grabbing your face, and then kissing you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
You mean because he asked. It was inappropriate, but it wasn't harassment.
That's what I think.
Okay.
But I feel like, especially with the Me Too movement and especially with social media, everything turns into a maelstrom where people go to the farthest extremes about things.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so if I'm at a bar and,
but
I'm
he's still,
and I say something...
But still, when you touch somebody, that's taking it to another level, though.
I feel like that's...
If he'd have been like, can I kiss you like this? But when you're... Like,
that's
you're, like, you're invading my personal
I
space.
I agree. I think that's
body.
Inappropriate.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't classify it as harassment per se.
Okay.
What about you?
I think it borders harassment. And I guess when you think of, like, the term harassment, it means, like, it's constant.
Let's look it up. See what you're saying? I'm going to look it up.
So I would think with harassment, you think it's, you know, constant advances, you know, unwanted advances. If he did it just once, like I said, it's bordering it, but it's very inappropriate.
According to the UN, sexual harassment is an actual or attempted rape or sexual assault. Everything falling, what is happening?
Hmm.
Yes.
But I mean, look, Unwanted touching.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's unwanted touching.
Unwanted touching, leaning over, cornering, or pinching.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Let me see.
Unwelcome behavior.
Yes, it includes many things.
Yeah.
Whistling at someone is sexual harassment?
White women wrote this. No. this sounds like a white woman list.
Is it?
Because that means we would be getting this sexually harassed all the time.
But, okay, so I guess I don't understand things like that. And
I just hate that because whistling at someone.
Emmett Till?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he got killed for whistling at someone.
Anyway,
that just brings up all types of feelings just seeing this list.
So what she's referring to is Emmett Till was a young boy. This one white woman said that he was whistling at her. And then a day or so later, they beat him up and lynched him.
Yeah,
and his body was disfigured beyond belief.
Yeah.
But his mother wanted an open casket funeral to show that this is what black people are enduring in America.
Mm-hmm. And that led to the civil rights movement. So
things like that. Yeah. This is one of the catalysts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from this list, it seems like anything can be considered.
Yeah, anything.
Anything can be considered sexual harassment.
Yeah.
I feel like this list
needs to be... Unwanted sexual looks. So if I just look at you, like if I just...
Oh, but
that's ridiculous.
But when I'm in the bar, I do my Black Widow stare. I'm like, what's she doing over there? Come into my web. Is that sexual harassment?
This list is ridiculous.
Well, I think that there's some merit to it.
Yeah, it's
but I feel like this is very extreme.
Yeah,
right?
That's very extreme.
Because, say for example, I'm flirting with someone, right? Flirting with someone, they don't consider me attractive. They'll be like, you're sexually harassing me. But I was just giving it a go. It's not like I put my hands on you or anything like that. Like, what are we supposed to do now?
Yeah.
I
how do you approach people?
Because anything can be considered unwanted. I don't like when people talk to me randomly when I'm out in the streets.
Yeah.
So if they talk to me, they're like, hey, I think you're beautiful. I don't like that.
That's true.
Yeah. Is that sexual harassment now? I think that the definition... I feel like this, some of these things, these facets of the list, this is the UN.org list.
Mm-hmm.
I think it trivializes what sexual harassment or...
should be.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Just leads to a cancel culture that's unfair. So, but what about the other one? He did something else too. That wasn't just it.
In the workplace?
Was it in the workplace where he asked that 20-something-year-old girl?
If she'd have sex with an old man?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure.
I think that's...
Yo, but that's clearly...
Yeah.
That's clearly something. I don't know why he would ask that. You're a fucking weirdo.
I mean, yeah, I was like, he's just weird and he doesn't... Maybe he's awkwardly, you know, socially awkward with women.
I will say, I don't think there's any excuse for that in the workplace if that's a workplace person. I think on the street, even if it's on the street, I don't think that is appropriate. But why would you act? He's not married?
No, he's divorced.
Oh. but why would you ask this young woman that just out of the blue? Like, I wish I knew the exact circumstances.
Look, maybe he's just being matter of fact. Like, he was like, before I even flirt or spend energy, look, would you sleep with my old ass? Like, you want some of this?
Is
yes
that
or no? I'm thinking maybe he was just being matter of fact. Like, I'm not going to waste my time with your little young ass. You want this dick or you want this old dick or not?
Well, to be quite frank, I would prefer if somebody was straight up like that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe he was just being too matter of fact for her. I don't know. But I mean, it's appropriate. It's inappropriate.
I think it's inappropriate. Yeah. But
and then that girl probably can be like his daughter. Granddaughter.
I don't think age matters in that circumstance. She's at the age of consent, so.
I mean, she's the age of consent, but you know, when you're, I'm thinking she was like an intern or something.
Yeah, it was.
You know, when you're working for this older, powerful man at that age, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking about when I was that age. Like, it can be quite intimidating, especially if you really want this job.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, do I, you know, continue to feel awkward, but I really want this job because I want to elevate my career, but it's, you know, it's still weird.
Yeah, I think...
Because, I mean, I've dealt with it before in the workplace.
Sexual harassment?
Well, like, I felt like a manager was kind of, you know, wanting to...
Making sexual overtures?
I wouldn't say make sexual overtures, but he wanted to see me outside of the workplace.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a little inappropriate. Like,
definitely, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, because if you're not inviting everyone, why are you just inviting me?
I agree.
And I'm a lower-level employee, so I think he was trying to use his power to, like, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I wish I would have went though. I should have went.
I feel like
I could have got promoted, and I probably could have been a bank manager or something. But go ahead.
I don't mind if people take advantage of that. But I think I don't like the whataboutism that people are using for this circumstance, right? Because there's a lot of people, right-wing people, who are making a big stink about this.
Of course.
And to me, the hypocrisy is rampant. I feel every situation should be investigated. Mm-hmm. I am of the caucus of Believe Women, but I also believe that people should have due process.
Right.
I think that this environment that we've cultivated where people are immediately expelled by allegations, mm-hmm. anyone can say anything they fucking want.
Yeah.
And not to say I don't want to discredit the credibility of these women. What I'm saying is, yes, believe them enough that you give them a fair investigation mm-hmm. of yeah. the facts. Mm-hmm. And when the investigation turns out, and one thing I want to make sure that is done by independent people, not like how the police investigate each other. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like people within the New York government shouldn't be able to investigate the governor of New York. That doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be an unbiased coalition of investigators who take these cases into hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think that is. It's disgusting that these people are speaking up so quick to drag Cuomo. Instead of dragging him for covering up the deaths of all these people in the nursing homes, they're dragging him for this, which aptly so. But also take Madison Cawthorn, his sexual harassment allegations, and Jim Jordan, and Jackson, and Trump, and the one who they're trying to get to be the what was it, the senator of Alabama? What's his name? Doug.
Oh, the one with the minors.
Yeah. They didn't have
no, like they came out and voted for him like crazy.
Oh, they didn't have yeah, like they didn't care.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah. But I mean, that's just how it is. It's just
that doesn't make it right. Yeah. I feel like across the board we need to be fair because mm-hmm. I think again why I don't like a lot of politicians is that they're playing politics as opposed to. Advocating for the people.
Yeah, show. Doing what's right. Doing, you know, advocating for justice. Like,
but we've allowed them to do so. I think that we need to take a more stark stance on rolling back some of these provisions and some of these powers that these Congress people have. For example, you shouldn't be able to take money from special interests. Your interest is for the people.
Yeah,
like we're your interests.
Yeah,
do not.
But sometimes I you know, when I'm reading, you know, online and looking at people's comments. Sometimes it's the voters, like they're a part of it too. They're complicit in this. It's like
yes,
yeah, like you know, whether it's with Cuomo or whatever, like they'll make so many excuses for this person just because they're Democrat, and then they'll demonize this person. But then when it's the other way around, I mean, to me, it's the same thing. And I just see voters, constituents doing it as well. So. I mean, we need to stop allowing it, but it's hard to stop allowing it when we're complicit in it.
Well, take by the weir, because I yell at everybody. I don't care who you are. Everybody gets this smoke.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's how I feel.
And I think there's whataboutism.
Everybody should get the smoke.
I think there's whataboutism for every party. I think the right-wing people are far more egregious, to be quite frank.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think
they're more extreme.
I think a lot of the left liberal people, they're very self-righteous, which I find... annoying and presumptuous and self-grandizing. I don't like it. But with these people, right? With these people, it's like selective memory. You forgot the past 4 years what the fuck was going on?
Mm-hmm.
All the things. Oh, that's another thing I actually wanted to bring up. Did you hear what Biden said about Texas? So Texas and Mississippi took away the mask mandates.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Mm-hmm.
And then Biden said that that's a Neanderthal way of thinking. And then some right-wing people were like, so you're calling us Neanderthals? I said, no, he's not calling you Neanderthals. He's saying you're thinking like Neanderthals if you think this is the right policy move. And I don't have a problem with it, right? Because I can say that what you're doing is idiotic as opposed to saying that you're an idiot. But a lot of people...
But do you think that's self-righteous?
What?
Is that a self-righteous way of speaking?
Or calling them Neanderthals?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it personally. I don't think it is good for his ethos was that he's going to be the soul of the nation and unify, etc. I don't think that's unifying language.
And see, that's how you rev up the Trump base and, like you said, the right wing. And then when it comes times for those midterm elections, guess what's going to happen?
But I feel like,
because they already feel like, especially liberals and these elites, because that's, you know, what they're trying to make the liberals and the Democrats be, you know, they feel like a lot of times that they're talked down upon. Okay. Like they are Neanderthals,
like
or like just these, you know, trailer park trash type
rednecks.
Yeah. So, you know, like you said, that's not unifying language.
I definitely don't think. Yeah. I think his argument was that he's trying to bring back civility.
Mm-hmm.
That language is not is reductive in my opinion. However,
even though we've been like that in Georgia, just so you know, the mask mandate.
I didn't even know there was a mask mandate.
Yeah, it's that they've been done away with that.
But I think it is hard to be apolitical for someone like him solely because I don't think that's what he's ever ran on, and he's never ran on the idea of being this emotionless factotum of a politician. He's Joe, Uncle Joe, you know. He has his own opinion, and he's gonna fight you behind the barn house. I think that's always been weird. I never liked it, so I'm surprised by a lot of people are surprised by his way of speaking now, because he's always been like that.
Yeah, he's always been kind of like, I'm gonna do this, and this is what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do, and you better, you know. It's like, I don't know. And then he's getting older, you know. A lot of people in old age, they don't care.
Yeah, he's been faux pasing when he was like, if you don't vote for me, you not black. You're just like, what, are you dumb? I am unsurprised, but I think that the right, they tend to weaponize things that are so fucking weird to me, right? Because they didn't have smoke for Trump when he was talking about those disabled people, when he was mocking that disabled reporter.
Gosh, yeah.
They didn't have smoke for him when he was calling Mexicans rapists and drug dealers or anything like that. And when he was calling black countries shithole countries.
Shithole countries.
And then he was like, oh, blacks bring down the property value. He didn't have smoke for that. But this one thing.
Even though there's a little truth to some of that stuff, but you know, we'll talk about that another. I mean, it's not intentional but it's.
But that's because of racism.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not true, but it's because people are racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
And you know, about the Neanderthal comment, you know what's ironic about that is, you know, Neanderthals are extinct.
Yeah.
So.
It
so, but you know, they're extinct for a reason. So.
I just think, right? Oh, so one thing that really pisses me off. Have you heard of Meghan McCain?
Yeah.
Okay, so John McCain's daughter. If you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the conservative voice on The View.
Mm-hmm.
And she's forever.
They're always getting into it with her, aren't they?
Well, the thing is, she seems bratty, right? Because my issue is that she doesn't recognize her own privilege. When she talks like somebody who has... As a woman, I imagine the media, yes, she's been the center of a lot of vitriol, and I imagine she's had to work her way up. But also, you were the daughter of a very prominent senator.
Yeah.
You never had to, like, really, you weren't part of the hustle gang. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
When she talks about, oh, I'm from Arizona, I don't give a fuck. Like, you don't have any...
What does she mean? Like she's from the struggle?
That's why it sounds like she talks about to me, which is... asinine. And the fact that she's trying to, let me just take these shit out, right? Because like they keep popping up.
Real life issues.
The fact that she's always so pressed about the liberals. She said, oh, well, if liberals are gonna consider us Neanderthals, bitch, nobody said that. Nobody fucking said that.
But I work with DNA stuff.
But she's
do your DNA. It is Neanderthal.
But she calls herself a Republican, right? And she talks a good game. It's like she picks and chooses what she wants to comment on, right? She doesn't want to comment on Doug Jones, right? And his pedophile ways. But she will comment big on Andrew Cuomo. Like, why the fuck are you not like bringing up the things that you should be pressed by, right? She wants to say that. She uses the term preterm abortion, which is not a clinical term. Late term abortion, excuse me. Which is not a term that they use in the clinical sphere, right? Because I'm pretty sure no one is at 8 months and was like, you know what? Let's jettison this baby out.
Right,
because
I thought there was at least supposed to be a certain amount of time before you can get an abortion, right?
Yeah.
Now, you can't, like you said, you can't go in there 8 months and the baby's already formed and say...
you know what, let's kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's so willing to peddle this bullshit. But when it comes to actual viable things that she can address, she never wants to say anything, right? And ooh, what the fuck? And her patriotism or her love of country is so fucking weird, right? Because, oh, my dad went to the Naval Academy, so the worst thing about Madison Cawthorn is he's gonna lie that he was about to join the most prestigious university in America, or institute in America. I was like, bitch, is that your biggest concern? Is that a biggest concern of all the things you just heard these people talking about?
So what's going on with Madison Cawthorn?
It's just, apparently, when he was in college, he's a pathological liar, you know what we talked about the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, when he was in college, he used to bring women into his car and say, let's go on a ride.
Mm.
And then use the opportunity to take them into rural areas and try press them for sex.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, creepy, nasty, disgusting, right? I'm not sure if he actually aggressed upon them.
Okay.
But I heard one of the ladies speak and she said, well, when he took me back, he was upset.
Mm,
so, okay. I guess I think about it from my perspective. If I were to go out with a dude, say we're dating and it's supposed to be romantic, and we go out and then he takes me to this remote location and he tries to proposition for me for sex and I say no, and he gets mad and takes me back, I wouldn't necessarily call that sexual harassment either. Yeah. I'd just be like, he's a dick.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've had that happen to me before. I was just like, you know, we're just going out, and then, you know, like, they want to be all over you. Like, wait, I just met you. Like, you know, and I'm just like, okay, well, I'll never go out with him again because he's pressed.
But
he's too pressed for sex.
Like, it's a different. If that person touched you between the legs and you didn't ask it.
Yeah, but, like, if he's like, but if they're just being aggressive and
if they're just like, well, have sex with me, I drove you all the way out here, like, what's up? And I said no, and they just take me back. That person is just a terrible person.
Exactly, and I just won't deal with him again.
But that's what he's saying happens versus what the women are saying. And the story I heard from that one woman, that's what she said happened. But I wouldn't consider that necessarily sexual harassment.
Yeah.
But I just wouldn't consider behavior befitting that of a person in the public sphere.
Mm.
As somebody who represents the people of North Carolina.
But that was in college, wasn't it?
He's only 25. He just got out of college yesterday.
Yeah. I just think sometimes we change as people.
I agree.
You know, from a certain age. And, you know, with men, you know, they're sexual beings, and sometimes they do stuff that's, but they are like, I mean, but
women
that
are sexual beings too.
No, well, I mean, to me, I don't know. I only date men, and men are very aggressive when they want sex, and I just wouldn't think, you know, they couldn't serve the public.
Women are aggressive when they want sex too.
I wouldn't say a person can't serve the public because they were wanting sex.
I never said that. I said his temperament is not befitting that of somebody who should be serving the public. That's what I'm saying. And also,
so are we giving him the same, you know, equal footing as we're giving Cuomo?
What equal footing?
Well, I mean, like we said, like it has to be due process.
He's not even getting investigated. Nobody's talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
Okay.
But the media don't care because the right-wing people don't care. They're like, men touch women inappropriately sometimes. It happens. Maybe that's the thing we were talking about, how we judge. I mean, to be quite frank, because I remember listening to some of these people in Trump country talk about when Donald Trump talked about grabbing a woman by the right?
The poofy.
And they were like, you just need to grab it sometimes. It's hot down there.
I remember seeing the women with signs saying Trump can grab my pussy. I was like, oh my God.
It's unfathomable.
But that's what I was saying, like, growing up, believe it or not, like, you know, of course I used to be ready to punch somebody in their damn face. But like, it wasn't nothing for a boy you walk by and they grab your ass and you just be like, motherfucker, you know. And I mean, but that's just, that was the thing to do. And I mean, you know, we didn't think of them as like bad people or whatever, okay. But it was just like, you know, like it's inappropriate, but for whatever reason, that was the culture.
Well, I just don't want to perpetuate the narrative that men are more aggressive than women in sex. I think men have been allowed to be more forthright and forthcoming in their actions towards sex or trying to in the pursuit of sex, because women are still slut shame things of that nature, right? If we were given the same type of agency over our bodies and over our sexuality as men were, I imagine women,
we would probably be more hunters too.
I mean, I like talking about sex. I don't do sex.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't say nothing.
Your face did a thing.
I was just thinking.
Your face did a thing. I didn't like, I don't do the sex, okay? And I.
But if you feel like you want it, you're going
to try to get
after
it.
Whoever
yeah.
you want it from.
Like, I'm definitely, well, lies. Okay. I'm pretty conservative when in, okay. When I drink a little, I'm a bit more, like trying to be sexy. But if I'm not drinking, I'm very awkward. So, okay. I remember somebody chatted to come into my club, and I hadn't had my first drink yet, and they were like, "Wow, you're beautiful," and I thought he was super attractive. Ooh. But then I was just like, "I can't talk to you right now. I'm so sorry. I'm not ready." Because I still have a lot of not shame with my sexuality, but like. I think it is hard for me to traverse the distance of sharing my body with someone else or the idea of sharing it. Or because I think of sex as how I want my sex. I want it to be very intimate.
Yeah. You just don't want to just
with some
for
random,
quick bam, thank yeah, you ma'am, like, and you know.
Like a pump and dump. Like, yeah. That shit is not my speed. I want you to want to please me. Yeah. But
okay.
That is hard. So that's why I want to dissuade this narrative. I think it's hard, though, to recalibrate society, especially when we've poised men in this situation. Because even growing up, in the dance hall, right, men will come up and dance behind you, right? And mm-hmm. according to this fucking list, that's sexual harassment.
Yeah.
But back home, and I still don't have
that's
a problem.
That's how I met one of my ex-boyfriends. I was just at the club, and next thing you know, he was like, hey, girl,
but I don't have a problem.
And I was like, hey.
But you see, I don't have a problem with that, right? If yeah. I don't like the guy, then I'm just like, ugh. But if I do,
you turn around, you'd be like, oh, you're cute. Hi.
But you see, that's also something that I was speaking to a friend about, and she said, well, you know, that brings up another concept where we allow certain behaviors from people who are good looking.
But no, well, that's subjective.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, people who are classically
who you're attracted to.
Yeah, I'm attracted. But the thing is, I'm attracted. And the only people who I don't like when they come up and dance behind me is women. So it depends, because women, when they dance behind me, because I think women are accustomed to dancing with men typically.
Okay.
So when you dance with men, you're the person in the lead. You're just like, mm-hmm. and then he's just like, yes, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. He just like, yeah, give it to me.
Yeah. But when you dance with a woman, she's trying to control
things.
She's
trying to control.
So if you're behind me trying to control things and I'm trying to control things off her, I'm like, hey, I'm the conductor. I'm the conductor. What are you doing? This is my train. Oh, so I don't. That's been my only problem. Except when you dance with studs. So with studs, they're just like,
mm. Oh Lord,
what? It's nice.
And you're like, oh, she handsome.
Oh, I love a handsome woman. Like, you know, I love a handsome woman. But yes, okay. Oh, what do you want to move on to?
Okay, so the next thing we're gonna, sticking to our lovely politicians that vote against minimum wage.
Okay, so what do you think about that then?
So, from my understanding, I thought the reason why that they didn't vote it in this time because they were trying to put it in with the relief bill. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And they said that it should be something separate from that, and mm-hmm. they don't have to vote on that separately.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not like it's a no, right? It's just a no right now until we get this COVID relief bill. Like, is it like a hard no that they're not going to do the $15 minimum wage?
So there's a lot of people against it because they're saying that the American economy won't be able to sustain that. There'd be less jobs and it'd raise the debt threshold like by 1.5 times, I think, was the figure.
Yeah. But then I was just thinking about it as well. If they do raise the minimum wage, that wouldn't a lot of these companies pass the cost on to the consumers? That's what my thinking was. Like, if I have to pay these employees more, for me to make up for that, I'm going to have to increase my sales.
But the thing
the
is,
cost of my products.
You don't have to, though. I think they'll say that solely because they don't want to decrease their profits.
But, I mean, how would they, if they wanted to continue the same, let's just say, production, and they still needed these 10 employees, the only way they can make up those costs of having to pay them $15 is to increase the price of their product.
I think you're thinking of it in the wrong way. What could decrease is their profits. They don't want to minimize their profits.
And that's what I'm saying. So they would increase the cost of their...
Okay, but do you think it's better to put the cost on the consumer, the people who are patronizing your business, or decrease a little bit of your profits to make sure that your employees are being paid reasonably. But
see, that's the thing. Like, I'm agreeing with you. They don't want to decrease their profits.
Okay, well,
so it's like either they have to get rid of their employees or they have to pass the cost on to the consumer.
I believe that we need to stop. I feel like we need to start holding our corporate citizens accountable to a level of morality.
And I agree.
That we attribute to
they don't
our
need to be so greedy.
Yeah.
Like, I agree.
Like, well, okay, so you made $1 billion surplus. You don't think that you can give some of that money to your employees? Like Jeff Bezos, he's the richest man on the earth, right? And Elon Musk, you don't think you can pay your employees reasonably? You don't think so?
But, well, this doesn't apply to, like, their employees. This probably applies to, like, Walmart's. You know, they're the main ones that would have to raise their salaries.
And the Targets of the world.
Yeah. So it'd be like the major retailers and the restaurants, the McDonald's.
All of Amazon's people aren't being paid 15. There are a lot of people being paid less.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. There's jobs out there that they're offering people like $10 an hour to do.
Okay.
Yeah. So they would have to come up too. If he's the richest man in the world, you can afford.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of people who argue, oh, well, his things
are tied
up.
But you don't think he would? You don't think he would?
He hasn't.
Okay.
It's not like this hasn't been a conversation.
Because he doesn't have to, but I would think like Walmart would probably have the hardest time. Like those type of retailers.
I agree.
Yeah. Because I already know, like, before there were like some people that worked at Walmart, and I just thought this was so sad that they wouldn't pay. They would rather hire two people to split a full-time job than pay one person because they didn't want to pay their medical benefits.
Yes. And not even to say the benefits were good or
right,
yeah, or inexpensive.
So,
I hear that.
You're definitely. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Even $15, that's good, but it's still. I don't even think that's a livable wage.
Well, it depends on what you value. What are the things you want? I mean, and this expectation. I think in America,
you can't own a home on $15 an hour.
I don't own a home on $15 an hour.
Huh?
I got my first house on $15 an hour.
And how long ago was that?
I bought it when I was 23.
$15 an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me think. Look, I got to think about it now. I bought my home when I was 24, so I don't know.
We live in Georgia.
I don't think I was making 15. But I guess it just depends on the type of home, too.
Yeah, you know, it's not like I was buying a fucking mansion.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, I agree.
But you didn't have kids. That's another thing, too. Like, you can't have a family.
No, you can't have a family.
Yeah, you definitely.
But it's all about expectation. Yeah. I think that the concept of expectation of what your life should look like in America is far different than other countries. So I think people think that they expect to live a certain type of life, right?
In America, you should expect that.
Why?
Because, like, if we're the richest country, like, there's no reason why anybody...
We're not the richest country.
Who's the richest country?
It's definitely not America. Hold on.
Look, has Dubai passed us? Or one of the richest countries. You say the richest country, singer? What you be looking up on?
Qatar is the richest country in the world, apparently. Yeah. And then China. China is one of them.
Oh, the gross GDP?
Yeah. I know we're in the richest country in the world. I was like, that's impossible.
Richest country, 2020.
Luxembourg is, according to 2020 per capita. Okay, Luxembourg, then...
Okay. Well, we are one of the richest. We're what, number one?
You said
two,
one
three,
of the richest.
Four,
those are the richest then.
Six. I'm moving to Luxembourg. No. But yeah. but still, like, it shouldn't be so much poverty in this country.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. For one of the largest for one of the most developed, supposedly most developed countries
most
in the world, etc.
Yeah.
I think that the expectation of a good life, or what your perception of what a good life encompasses,
mm-hmm.
should be more attainable, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, right, have you ever heard of the Buddhist phraseology, modify your wanting?
Mm-mm.
So a lot of these people aren't willing to change the political tapestry that would aid in the endeavor to find a suitable minimum or suitable living wage for a gross amount of the people, right?
Right.
So if you're not willing to do so, I'm willing to do so. I don't mind, which is why one of the reasons I started this platform with TT, because... Mm-hmm. I think that we need to hold people in power accountable.
Yeah.
Right? But a lot of these people aren't willing to do so because until Trump, a lot of people were so great, very comfortable being complicit in whatever happens, right?
Yeah.
I'm very unaware. But if you are not willing to change the political tapestry, then you have to modify your wanting, because you're not going to be able to attain these things if you're stuck in this antiquated law-written society where it says corporations are worth more than you.
Yeah.
And that these people can abuse you in whatever fashions. Like, when you hear about things like at-will employment, they can just fire you for whatever.
Yeah.
No.
Like, oh, those shoes are ugly. Go home. You're fired.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, how is that... How is that in any way protecting you as a citizen?
Yeah. This one guy, he got fired, and I was reading on this actually for a few days. Well, I think his supervisors already didn't like him for whatever reason, but it was 37 cents missing from his register. Mm-hmm. And they was like, this is it, 37 cents, you're out of here. And they fired him. And I mean, it's just stuff like that. And you know, now they got people, you know, activists or whoever trying to get him his job back. I'm like, why would you want to go back to, it was Lowe's. I'm like, why would you want to go back to a place that fired you over 37 cents?
I wouldn't.
Yeah. So.
But some people, maybe that's the only job he could get.
I think that's probably the best job he's ever had because he's young. Mm. So. But yeah, that minimum wage. I just think a lot of times it's really like the, like you said, it's the greedy people, it's the rich that just want to get richer. They want to keep their costs down.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, even when I'm talking with my, you know, other employee, you know, my other coworkers or whatever, and I was like, you know, how could you live off of $15?
I could.
Because they're like, not $15, but could they live off of the current minimum wage? Because, you know, some people are against it. I'm just like, if you don't see yourself living off of that, you can't say, you know, well, if you work hard, you can do this and do that. A lot of those people work hard.
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah. So it's not about working hard. You know, if you can't see yourself living comfortably on, what is it, $7 or
something? $7.25.
Oh, my God. You know, I was making $7 in high school.
When I was in high school...
And I just can't believe making $7 now.
I think when I was in the Caribbean, the minimum wage, when I worked, so I used to work as a server, and that was like a dollar something per hour. And then I used to work at McDonald's, and that was six something an hour.
Okay. When I originally started working, it was like $5.15.
Mm.
Yeah, it was like $5.15. And I had me a little $7 job in high school, baby. I was balling.
Okay.
$7, I did have my daughter, but still, I ain't really have no bills. You couldn't tell me nothing. I was making $7.
Well, I had to pay bills. Yeah.
I just had like a car note. That was it.
Well, then
it was like $200. $200.
I was just told that if I'm going to stay in the house, I need to pay bills because I'm working. And I was like, well, it'd be like that, I guess.
Yeah.
But I really don't think that anyone who's working 40 hours a week shouldn't be able to feed their family if they have a family.
Right.
But
they're subsidizing them anyway, because if you're making minimum wage, more than likely you're on probably some type of public assistance, especially if you have a family.
Well, not necessarily. So the poverty threshold was changed from by the IRS the other day. Yeah. So if you're a mother and you have two kids, but you make over $20,000, then you don't qualify.
Wow.
I was speckledorfed, right?
Because I was like, well, they probably still get food stamps at least.
But they're trying to take away those, and they're diminishing the cost of it, or even social security, right? If you have a disabled child, they're reducing those payments as well if you make over a certain amount, which is $20,000. Like, $20,000 between three people is nothing.
Oh, my God.
It's nothing. But I think these are the things that we need to be fighting against. And when people are worried, like, these people on the internet, especially, too, these young, sweaty people are talking on the internet about how, well, like, corporations employ most of the people in the world, so we need to give them a break. Man, shut up! One of the reasons why they're in such high demand is because we patronize their business.
As consumers.
But they should look at it as that too.
Like, okay, well, we're gonna pay them more, which means they're gonna spend more with us.
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that?
You mean the employees?
I mean, people are still gonna spend anyway.
Well, yeah, but
so if you increase their salaries, that might increase their spending as well.
Well, I believe that as like a concept in general. If people have more money, they'll spend more.
Yeah, they'll spend more.
Which will contribute to economic growth.
Right.
But I feel like there's places that we're putting money that we don't need to. For example, all this money that's going into lobbying for special interests. We can invest it in places that matter, like infrastructure.
Yeah.
And then, in fact, I think that politics is too much of
money. But, I mean, that's why the corporations get such a break, because they're paying a lot of, you know, the lobbyists or whatever, they're making all these these big campaign contributions.
Oh, I mean, well, I don't think, well, Citizens United, I think Citizens United made it, so I don't want to be incorrect, but I think it made it, Citizens United. You remember the Supreme Court case?
Mm-mm. Okay. Because I know, like, they said, like, the owner of Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, all of them, they all support the, you know, like, the Republican campaigns. They make donations.
Okay. So, the Citizens United is in favor of... It struck down the BCRA's restrictions on independent expenditures from corporate treasurers as violations of the First Amendment. So in layman's terms, they got rid of a lot of the financial restrictions to investing in the political machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that Bernie was trying to do in his campaign when he wanted to take like grassroots dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a worthy effort. But these media companies and these news stations, they don't give a fuck about that.
No.
They're like, give me those fucking
dollars.
Give
me the money.
I don't give a shit about your campaign or what you're trying to do. Like, we want the money, though.
Yeah.
And in order to get the money for that marketing, because I think the politicians have to pay dues, which is crazy. Like, why are they paying dues?
Mm.
Like, the tax dollars, I mean, we fucking off key everything.
I'm just curious about, I gotta look this up, too, how a lot of these politicians go from, like, regular... middle class working people to millionaires, but I'm gonna have to. I gotta.
But like, remember when COVID first started, and then the people, the guy learned about COVID and he got rid of his stocks.
Yeah.
Or like he started investing in certain stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that it's just a whole corrupt system.
Yeah, it's just corrupt. And I mean, it is not just right. You know, the right. It's everybody.
Oh, I didn't say the right. I just said politics.
No. I'm just saying in general because a lot of times, like you say, a lot of liberals, they're a little. You know, they always think it's the Republicans, but no, it's everybody.
Oh, yeah, everybody. Yeah. All the politicians, I feel like we need to, like, fold them inside out and ring them out. Like,
yeah.
Something needs to happen, right?
Yeah.
Because whatever the fuck they're doing is not conducive to what American life should look like.
Exactly.
They shouldn't be starving kids in America. That doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And there shouldn't be people without internet in America. That doesn't make sense to me. There shouldn't be a government that poisoned the people and doesn't have to pay for it.
Because when I heard about that, they were like, when the kids went to virtual learning and I was getting all these links, you know, from the school or, you know, the county, they were like, oh, if you want free internet, click here. And I was just like, people don't have internet.
There's a lot of people without internet, apparently. And
so, I mean, I know it. It's not like I come from this, but I was just so surprised in this day and age that, you know, there are still kids that don't have access to the internet at home.
Especially when it's such an important part of the learning curriculum as it stands now. Like, if you're going to make this a requirement, especially with the COVID restrictions, get up to fucking speed. And one, you know how the last administration slashed the budget to education?
Mm-hmm.
This is the result of that.
Yeah.
You see the ineffectiveness of this virtual learning. I'm sure my nephews haven't learned shit.
I mean, I had a parent come to me. She was just like, look, I'm probably going to have to, she said, without a doubt, hold my son back for a year. Because of this.
Well, it depends on what grade he is in. Because I don't feel like... There's a certain time where I don't think I learned anything in school.
There's a lot of times. I know.
Well, I think I learned the most when... I can recall in my age. I remember learning a lot in 4th, 5th, 6th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Skip middle school. And then 9th, 10th, 11th. And then skip senior year.
Oh, senior year. Yeah, I ain't learned shit.
Yeah, so I think it depends on the development
and
what the curriculum looks like. Okay, what you want to talk about next?
Next, okay, so Coca-Cola had a recent diversity training where they were asking their employees to be less white. Let's talk about it.
Okay,
I just thought what's so ironic about that is that, of course, you know, the white employees was like, oh my God, like, this is so, you know, like, how can I be less white? You're asking me not to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But we've talked about this in other podcasts about how I know your experience where a lot of times as black people, we felt like we've had to be
less black
in order to be acceptable. In the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
There was a list. And let me just bring up this list of what was... and actually, this was by a white academic who proposed this. So this isn't from black people. This is from a white lady, a best-selling author, who said, to be less white is to... be less oppressive, less ignorant, less certain, less defensive, less ignorant, arrogant. I don't know if I said ignorant or arrogant. Be more humble, listen, believe, break with apathy, and break with white solidarity. What do you think about that?
Okay, so I understand what she's trying to say, but I think the verbiage that she uses is not... white people have never had to consider that, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can see blackness, right?
Right.
You can see blackness, and you can see that the disarray, or perhaps the disconnectedness of black people in an institution,
yeah,
right, that was mm-hmm. built for white people.
Yep.
The corporation
in a corporate environment,
was built for white people, yep, right? So they don't know how to be less white because it's their environment.
Yeah, it's just like, what do you mean?
Yeah, you want me to, this is how the shit was.
Yeah.
But you created all the rules before we had a say.
Yeah.
So we're saying now that we have a say that it just needs to be modified. And I think what she's trying to say is, like, be aware of the fact that there are people who are different from you, right? And these people have oftentimes had to modify themselves, yeah, to enter your space, right?
That's true.
Because I've heard some white colleagues making snide remarks about, say, for example, I had an Indian coworker and she brought some, like, naan and curry.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, well, they always smell like curry. And I had to get in his neck because, and then, you know, of course he told me I was being too sensitive,
mm-hmm,
but get in his neck because what the fuck is the matter with it, right? This is the food, and perhaps it's like, mm-hmm, it, you know, in India, curry is a big part of it.
Yeah.
And if she chooses to eat curry, I mean, there's different conversations you can have, whether, you know, being considerate about the smells, yeah, etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
But don't make it to be a racial thing or a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to chastise someone like that, but they haven't seen that within the sphere because it's just been people who look like that. So, yeah, they don't have to be sensitive.
And they pretty much made the rules of what's the standard.
What's conduct. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've definitely been in office environments where, you know, you just feel like you can't bring certain food to work because, you know, I've seen, you know, especially it's white men, you warm up certain food and they walk around, oh, what is that? Who's eating that? You know, and it's just like, okay, it's like you said, it's curry or it's jerk or, you know, it may be collard greens or something. And it just makes you feel like, you know, you can't even eat, like you said, certain foods, or you can't, you know, bring certain lunch because it's going to be like, oh my God, it's creating this smell in the office and we don't like it. You're making us uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's so many things that make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I remember one of the reasons I quit my last job is because I wore head wrap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that I couldn't wear a head wrap unless it was for my religious affiliation. And my thought process is, black women have been wearing head wraps since the dawn of fucking time. We're like, what the F are you talking about? But of course, you know I like bullshit. So, mm-hmm, I said, yes, it is my religion in my country.
Yeah.
When I wear a certain color, it's to attract a viable mate and to let them know that I am ovulating.
Ah!
As to prepare for the most opportune coitus that will result in a child.
So I know that was kind of a weird vibe for a while.
No, the guy was like, I get that.
But you shouldn't have, but that shouldn't even have to be an explanation.
But the fact that he accepted that as fact, he was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Because what? Because why? But I feel like the ignorance and the lack of, like, cultural sensitivity,
yeah,
or the lack of, like, cultural knowledge, right? Because, I mean,
my thing is the job getting done? Is the person performing? Like, that should be, you know, the main thing you should worry about, not what they look like.
Question, do you believe in the idea of, like, workplace, like, conduct and dress? Like, is there certain things?
I mean, you know, there should, I mean, you know, conduct and dress, that's fine. But, you know, when you tell
but
me.
But conduct, as it is now, is very white.
But when I'm thinking about conduct, I'm not thinking about, you know, whether. What do you mean, like, white? Like, conduct means, like, you just, if you're able to come there and, you know, and do your work and respect your coworkers and you know, what do you mean by, what's cultural conduct?
I think conduct in the workplace, how it's orchestrated, is very white and it's very designed to, like, make certain people comfortable. For example, in one of the workplaces I worked at, we could have headphones, right?
Yeah.
So that wasn't a problem. So I had the over-the-head headphones. And when I used to walk to go get my lunch, I used to keep them on. Uh-huh. So I never used to speak to anyone.
Okay.
But I was one of the only black women there.
Okay.
So I remember one day the boss came and told me, hey, yo, you gotta take your headphones off because people think that you don't like anybody. And
is that in the book of conduct?
But I went and asked some of my homeboys because they had the overhead headphones too, and they're men, mm-hmm. and white men. So I was like, did anybody tell you anything about your headphones? And they're like, nah. So what about me specifically? That's what I'm saying.
Because when you say conduct, I'm thinking like...
Conduct means different thing for different looking people.
Okay.
In the workplace. Do you agree or not?
Yeah, I agree.
Because like a white girl can wear a kind of shortish shirt.
Oh, right? Yeah.
If she don't have that dunk, then it's not a problem. But if a black woman,
with thighs and ass come through there.
They're like, wait,
knocking over furniture.
They're like, wait.
They're like, no, that's inappropriate.
No.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. So, and another thing too, and you know, when they were saying like, you know, well, what do you mean be less white? And you know, and with us being less black, I mean, a prime example of us having to be less black is, you know, like when, you know, just how we used to relax our hair or make sure our hair was straight.
But what do you mean?
What do you mean? Like,
I'm not part of the straight hair community.
I mean, now most people are kind of, you know, conforming, but you know, like, you know, back in the day, you know, it's like you come in there with a big afro or some big puffy hair. It's kind of like, ooh, you know, she's not well kept. You're not groomed.
Yeah.
And you know, those are
like, things, if I went with this.
Yeah. Like, I mean, those are things where you feel like you have to be less black. Like, I wasn't born with, you know, this bone straight hair and this and that. So I definitely had to modify my look so I could be more white or more accepted in corporate environment. So, you know, I just think it's funny that, you know, white people, when they heard about this, you know, they're like feeling like they're being oppressed, like,
attacked.
Yeah. Mm. Like, oh, what do you mean? How do I be less white?
By being less white. I mean, real talk, I think it's a matter of empathy because I don't think white people, to be quite frank, just because of this nation's history, they haven't had to be put into a situation where they're the people who have to adapt, right? Because
you want everybody.
I think I said this the last time, right? Because if a white person comes into a black space, black people make space for them. So long as they see you down, they're like, okay, we make space for
and
you.
They make you feel we're gonna make you feel comfortable.
But if the opposite happens, you're that one black person who's there, and I don't think that they have many opportunities to analyze it. And I think perhaps when they're critiqued on it, they get attacked. Because I had this person in my life. When we're talking about negative criticisms.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind somebody challenging my own perception of myself or what mm-hmm. have you. I'll let you know if I think it holds credence.
Okay.
But if it doesn't, then that's an issue. But my issue with a lot of people, because she was white.
Mm-hmm.
My issue with these people is that they're not often challenged in that fashion. Like, you don't have to deal with this thing. Like, people will put up with your bullshit because you're white, right? I can't bullshit the same way as you because, you know, they're watching me harder. They're judging me harder. There's stigmas attached to my behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be, I wouldn't consider myself an angry black woman. But when I speak like this, people will at least consider me aggressive.
Mm.
And I wouldn't fashion myself as an aggressive person, but I have had to become more assertive with the way I speak solely because I was in an environment. I came to America in an environment where it was ruled by white men.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to allow myself to be heard, I have to adopt a certain persona. So if you want to be a black woman in a space where white conservative men are the lead people, then you need to come in a certain way. You can't look very deviant, or you can't speak very deviant, mm-hmm. or you can't behave in certain ways.
Yeah.
And I don't think they understand that, right? Because they just expect you to adapt as opposed to them adapting to the fact that there's someone different there.
Yeah. And you know, and I can attest to that because, you know, in my office that I work in, I am the only woman and I'm the only black woman.
Oh.
So I'm there with a bunch of white guys. And you know, I've definitely, you know, felt like I did at times like tone things down. But, you know, as the years went on and I just felt like I had, you know, such a independence and value in the company. It's just like now, you know, they just know not to come in my office with bullshit. Like, I just give them a certain look and they'll be like, okay, I'm out of here. You know, it's like, I'm not going to play with you today. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I don't know. I just think that, you know, there's a way to balance things, you know, as far as like... not being seen as that aggressive, angry black woman, type thing. But you also got to make sure that you're assertive and that you, you know, let them know that you are about business and, you know, you're not going to be, you know, marginalized, because there are times where I've had to pretty much just, you know, let one of my colleagues know, because again, as a Black woman, sometimes, you know, even like when it comes to like, you know, like when I had my car accident, and it was almost like a joke made, like, oh, you know, why, you know, as if I didn't need to seek medical care as a white woman should. And I was like, I said, oh, because I'm Black, do you think I'm supposed to be stronger? Like, am I not supposed to continue to go to the doctor or to physical therapy? Oh, we're not saying that, because they were like making a joke, like, oh, did you got your new hip yet? Or how many times are you going to have to go, you know? And I'm just like, as many times as I need to go.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, oh, okay.
Am I, you
know,
fucking
and
business?
Yeah, here? And it was like, oh, we know the back.
Are you
now
my medical provider?
Yeah. I'm just like, am I? And I just hate to say it, because they really do. And I mean, you know, the guy said it to me. He's like, well, you know, there's a study that Black people do have higher bone density, which is supposed to make them stronger.
You know.
So... what I say when they say be less white. That's being less white.
Oh, but you see, that's a whole thing too, because we can go into like women or Black women being treated. The healthcare situation in America is legitimately and literally killing Black women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Serena Williams, one of the richest one of us, right? Beyonce had complications. All these rich Black women, right? And a lot of people would say, oh, wealth is a mitigating factor.
No.
They just don't give a shit about Black women, yeah, in the healthcare industry, right?
I mean, you got to almost force them
to take notice.
Yeah, like, I need this test. I'm having this pain. You're going to send me to a specialist. I don't care if you're like, well, just take some aspirin. It's really not a big deal. I don't know what to do. No, I need to go to a specialist.
Let me tell you, I have a book full with like different tests that I need to take. I go to my doctor and they're like, what do you know about this? I'm like, don't ask me any fucking questions. I'm paying for this shit. Just run it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, I know why I'm asking for it. And yeah. I told you, and you're saying that it's not necessary.
Yeah.
But then it turns out to be necessary. I remember going to the doctor, and then I told him, this runs in my family. Can you check me for it? And he was like, I don't see any indications of that. And I was like, well, I'm seeing situations that make me think I have it.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, I'm afflicted.
And oh, that's like, the thing. It's like, if I'm coming to you as a patient, it doesn't... I'm paying for the shit. Just send me to the specialist.
Yeah.
It's not coming out your fucking pocket.
And it's like, do you want me to be crass or rude?
Yeah.
Because even with my mom has had, like, been having consistent pain, and the doctor keeps telling her, oh, it's because you're getting old. No!
You know, I've had that said to me before. They're like, oh, well, you know, you know, I went to the doctor. She's like, well, you know, you're getting close to 40. So, you know, and I'm just like, I don't give a fuck how old I am. If I said... this part hurts. I need to go get an X-ray or something.
Check
it out.
MRI.
I don't want to hear that.
CT.
I mean, yeah.
Everything.
It's like, you know, as you get older, stuff hurts. Well, stuff hurts for a reason. I want to know the reason, not because I'm a certain age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't. I think
we gotta tear all this shit up. We gotta tear it up. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. They make me so mad.
Okay, it makes me mad too, right? Because my mom. She went to the dentist, and this dentist people were talking all kind of fuck shit. And I'm in the administrative part of the healthcare field. I've been in insurance, billing, mm-hmm, provider enrollment, credentialing, yeah, all of the things, right? So I understand it from a paper standpoint,
mm-hmm,
but I don't give a fuck, because patient care is about people.
Yeah.
What we need to do is change the system that demands that healthcare brings forth these egregious profits,
mm-hmm,
right? So this dentist is trying to tell my mom some fuck shit, and I had to read her, because, you know, she was having issues, and they were like, well, you know, you're just older, like your teeth are eventually going to fall out.
And it's funny, because your mom isn't that old.
And she looks so pubescent.
Yeah. Like, your mom isn't old.
And she takes care of herself.
Yeah.
So I had to grill, like, getting this. I was like, listen to me. Anything you tell my mother, you tell me. I'm going to be on the phone when you're here. So I want to hear. And I'd ask questions, because unfortunately, especially the older generations,
mm-hmm,
like, one, they're very mistrustful of, I think, Western medicine, especially if you're from the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's just that different times to just accept what's given to you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like they don't ask many questions. Like my mom thinks I'm somebody who pushes the boundaries. Or you're always like pushing someone, or mm-hmm. you're too aggressive, or you're always asking too many questions. I don't give a fuck. I ask questions because these questions, because for a long time they've just been like giving us things without necessarily, like, I have a friend that was trying, I guess she had high blood sugar or whatever, and they were trying to give her blood diabetes medicine for what, right? If there's ways that she could walk it back,
yeah,
because if once she starts using that medicine, she's going to consistently need it.
I mean, she's going to be on it for the rest of her life.
Yeah. And instead of telling our community, oh, well, you know what you need to do? Eat healthier.
Yeah, eat healthier. And lose exercise, weight.
Like, you know. And especially within the Black community, one of the reasons why I wanted to get prompted on my healthy lifestyle is because our community, because we live in places like food deserts. And low-income areas that they don't supply us with, like, what? One of the things I started doing, you know, up in Decatur, you know, the gentrified part of Decatur,
mm-hmm.
I started buying my groceries up there, and they're so fucking nice!
Right!
But when you come around, like, you know, more lower income areas or what have you,
mm-hmm.
the shit,
you have to go so far. Yeah.
What you saying?
No, I was gonna say you have to go so far just to find fresh produce.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you do go into like a Kroger or whatever in a lower middle income area, I mean, like you said, the produce is just so
good. Like the old ones that rolled out.
Yeah, it's like
the truck.
Old and it's scarce, and it's just like mm-hmm. you're digging through it trying to get the
right ones.
Yeah. So
it's super frustrating. Mm-hmm. So I want to start getting on the side. We're gonna go on a hike together.
Yeah.
But I want to get
because we both got to get back into. I know I do.
Get back.
I didn't turn into a sugar mama. Voluptuous sugar mama.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind. I mean, I happen to be a thick madam myself.
Yeah.
But one of the thing why I don't like is if my lifestyle now is not conducive to me living a healthy lifestyle and being mm-hmm. okay when I go to the doctor,
mm-hmm.
then that's something I need to change. And for a lot of Black women, especially with our different like bodily makeups,
mm-hmm.
we get things like, you know, we get diabetes easier, we get heart disease easier, things of that nature. So I want to be able to avoid that, especially since
and a lot of times we work a lot, we're busy taking care of
and we can't afford healthcare, or we don't have the healthcare resources in our areas.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
So we can't just check in. Like, fortunately, I mean, I'm aggressive with how I keep up with my healthcare solely because of my family.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to extend that towards the Black community, or make heighten awareness, or mm-hmm. help make policies that allow for more resources to be flooded into our communities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't want people to need government resources, you know what's one way to help them do it? Make them healthier.
Yeah.
So I remember one time I propositioned the government for this county mm-hmm. to create a food garden, mm-hmm. and they were saying no because we're zoning it for a liquor store, and there was a liquor store down the street. Things like that. I don't think they're conscientious in their efforts to support the enrichment of people in our community.
They're
so
not.
I am going to continue to fight for such.
Okay, let's fight for it.
Do you want to continue, or do you want to? We can
I
wrap.
Think we're good. Yeah, we can wrap it.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, we want to just wrap with this little caveat, and then we could talk about it later.
I mean, we can talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today on this podcast.
Yeah.
The thing that we were going to talk about later, but we need more research. That's why we don't want to talk about it right now. So apparently, there's questions about BLM's donations and spending, but we're going to do more research and bring it back to you.
Right.
But thank you for joining us on this episode.
Thank
we enjoyed
you.
It. Like, comment, share, subscribe, and follow all our social media handles mm-hmm. and pages. We thank you for your continued
save
support.
The videos when you watch them.
Save us on Instagram, things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to make this platform something that's worthy of acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bolster this mission and this effort. We want to talk about things that people don't often talk about, especially Black women, in such a candid way.
Right.
So we look forward to seeing you, and hopefully you seeing more of us. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.